And welcome to the debut edition of Embrace Debate, Carolina Panthers here on the Fans First Sports Network, on the Keep Pounding Sports Network here for you, the podcast network, brand new debut today. I'm your host, Desmond Johnson, and joined by my boys, Cody from the C3 Cat Chronicles and from Monty for the four-man rush. They're going to be with us here every week debating Panther-centric topics. No Rams, no Commanders, no Cowboys. I know you get enough of that on the other spots. This is straight Carolina Panthers. We're gonna have a lot of fun with it. You can actually join in on this conversation while we're having it, as well as JD found us here already. Good morning to you too, sir. You can join in on the debate side here. This is a little bit different type of debate tops type show. Go to either youtube.com/@TobaccoRoadSportsRadio. Or you can go to the Facebook watch page and you can actually type in your comment there and get a reaction from Monty or Cody or myself. The way this works, I've basically gone through and picked out a number of different debate topics for us to get going on here. And Monty and Cody will get after it. If you guys follow them on Twitter, you see the banter, you see the fun there. And we're going to have a lot of that every Monday morning at 10:30. The audio version of this will be on the Fans First Sports Network. Just look up the Keep Pounding Podcast Network on Google. Go rate, subscribe. As new episodes come in, you'll be able to catch those. This should be up right around about noon or so later on today. Guys, let's go ahead and get this thing popping, man. But before we start, how's your Mondays? How you doing?
Doing good, man. Listen, I'm happy to be here. I'm happy for the opportunity to be a part of Embrace Debate. Listen, man. Me and Monty, we go back and forth all the time, so we might as well make it a weekly occurrence where we go after each other, man. So I'm happy to be here, happy to be a part of it, happy to be here with you, Desmond, and I'm pumped, man. I'm ready to get going.
Monty, what's up, man? How you doing, baby?
What's going on, fellas? Hey, man. Monday is we're back at it again. The hustle starts all over again. That race starts all over again. So yeah, I'm with Cody. Proud to be here, thankful, that you brought us back. Definitely, it's going to be fun packing Cody up, for on a weekly basis now. So, man, like I said, I'm glad to be here, man. So let's do it, fellas.
And we got some more. The Cat Cave will debut sometime later this week, too. Ryan Frick from Tap Outs and Touchdowns and Michael Davis from Out of Pocket with Michael Davis have joined forces. They'll have a podcast on this channel as well a little bit later on. And a couple surprises. Got a couple of things haven't announced yet, but we got a couple more in pre-production that are going to join us as well. Our goal is to be your home for the best Carolina Panthers content out there going forward in the podcast platform. So you guys, we got people already streaming in. Bad Daddy, what's up, Carolina Panthers family? What's going on, man? Everybody kind of coming in, checking out what's going on here. Oh, by the way, check out Believe in Carolina Panthers, myself, Skylar Callahan from Sports Illustrated, and the Panthers all-time leading rusher, Jonathan Stewart. That usually drops later in the week in the offseason, probably around about Thursday or so. We'll get to that. We're doing a series on the top four quarterbacks in this draft and doing some analysis on them. Let's actually start off with that, the top four quarterbacks in this draft. First question for today, out of the top four quarterbacks in the 2023 NFL draft, which would make you angry if the Panthers picked them at number one, and why? It's a little bit of a different approach to this as opposed to who would you like for them to take. Who would you hate for them to take at number one? Cody, let's start off with you. Out of these four quarterbacks, Anthony Richardson at Florida, Bryce Young at Alabama, C.J. Stroud at Ohio State, and Will Levis at Kentucky. If the Panthers took one of those, which one of those, if the Panthers took them, would make you furious?
Oh, easily. It's that mayonnaise monster, Will Levis. What are we talking about, man? Look, that's the mayonnaise monster. That's what I call him, bro. Listen, if you're going to be drafted number one, the pick is either C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young. If you're going to go up to number one for Will Levis or Anthony Richardson provides that upside that you love. I get a lot of Josh Allen type of vibes from him. Cannon for an arm. He can use his legs to burn you on the ground. But it's reasonable to say that he probably needs another coat of polish, maybe a year to sit behind a veteran in order for him to be able to start. His upside is so high that I would get over it fairly quickly if we drafted Anthony Richardson number one. But overall, Will Levis, to me, there is just so much on his film that just terrifies me, man. I don't think he's consistent going through his progressions. I think his footwork is off a lot of the times. and is, to be frank, he's kind of injury prone. So yeah, my answer is easily that that banana peel eating guy over from Kentucky, bro.
I don't think me and Monty can call him mayonnaise monster. I think that would be a problem. Monty, who's your god of the four that you that would be furious if you
picked after Cody, I don't know what to say there. Oh no, I can't say I would really be upset with any of them. I've been on record being high on all of them. I started the process liking all four of them. That was when we were at 9. Now being at 1, I think again what Cody said, there's only two options, realistic options, and that's CJ Stroud and Bryce Young. I probably would be ready to throw something if we draft a Will Levis, but I think we all know that's not realistic. I think now coming off of it, after looking at tape and just not having to pick QB 3 or 4 and having a chance of 1 or 2, I would probably be living if we drafted Will Levis.
Yeah, Levis seems like the one that's kind of fallen after the combine, after the team dinners and all that stuff. I think it's sounding like he's really cocky in these interviews. Yeah. And everyone's like, what are you cocky for? You played at Kentucky. Like, what are you doing? Like, why are you
playing here your last year?
Yeah, you weren't even that great last year. So
he also comes off like that jock that would be stuffing a nerd inside of a locker in high school. It kind of has that pompous kind of arrogance about him. I mean, I've never met the dude in my life, but there's rumors like that he's
you wouldn't mind running to him.
Hey man, I've also heard rumors that he's not doing very well throughout the interview process.
So and I noticed he's picked up about 15 pounds of muscle in the past like 12 months too, because he's kind of all of a sudden he got huge. He's had that Mel Kiper stamp of approval, and you know how that goes. The last one I think we had like that we actually brought in here was Jimmy Clausen. And I don't know. I mean, this is the guy, Mel Kiper, if I'm not mistaken, he's the one that was wanting Blaine Gabbert over Cam Newton and was like touting him like hard, like Blaine Gabbert. I don't know about Cam Newton. I don't know. So that's an interesting one there for sure. So I think it's pretty
clear. I believe he called Josh Allen. I believe he was right about Josh Allen or Lamar. I believe those were one quarterbacks who were.
Yeah, I think so. Everybody was pushing for Lamar to switch positions, which is insane in hindsight. But that's pretty crazy too. Got Monty in here. Got Cody in here. It's Embrace Debate on the Keep Pounding Carolina Panthers Podcast Network here on FFSN. Let's hit this one real quick. Embrace Debate. Panthers have pick 39. Currently, it's a high second round pick. Would you trade down for more picks, or would you grab best player available? Melanie, we're going to start off with you.
I'm going best player available. I believe it just depends on, who's there. If there is a run on defensive ends and we can't find a day one starter at linebacker or corner, I'm probably considering trading back. I believe that there's going to be, one of those options there at 39, though. I believe we position ourselves where we can't go best player available. There realistically could be a first-round talent that falls to 39, so you're still within those first 40 picks there. So you're still going to get a very good player. So, I'm getting the best player available, and I believe that's going to be a defensive player, to be honest.
Cody, your retort, best player available, or you trade down for more picks?
No, I mean, I'm staying at 39, but more specifically, I'm getting Brian Burns some help on the other side of this defensive line. Far too long, we have depended on Brian Burns to be our primary pass rusher. And then we always have this debate on whether or not he is an elite NFL edge rusher. And it's because he's out there by himself. He's the only one consistently getting into the backfield, getting pressure on the quarterback. That cannot happen anymore, especially now that you have Ejiro Rivero and we're going to be moving to that 3-4 defense. We need another 3-4 outside linebacker, and we need another 5-tech defensive end. So I wouldn't be mad at either of those. I really love B.J. Ojulari out of LSU. I think he has an incredibly high upside. Also, Isaiah Foskey out of Notre Dame is a player that I've come on to recently that I think would be a tremendous addition for the Panthers. We have to get some more pass rush, man. If we're going to go quarterback round one, we have to get someone who's going to get after the quarterback in round two.
Amen. DJ Fish Nipples saying Cody and Monty are agreeing on things and in shock here. Don't worry, I'm gonna get into a spot here in a bit where we'll get the fireworks going. I don't know
what's crazy. Me and Monty agreeing, or a guy named DJ Fish Nipples. That's wild.
That's gonna pop up in all of our heads around like 4:45 this afternoon, just randomly DJ Fish Nipples. We're like, what? About to get crazy in here. Embrace debate, Carolina Panthers here. This beautiful Monday morning, April 10th, 2023. Let's go on to question number three here. Panthers' biggest need on defense. Nice segue here from that previous question. Is it cornerback? Is it defensive end? Or is it a position I didn't type up there? Cody, you were talking about how we needed it sounded like you're leaning defensive end. Is that where you're saying here? On the defense, they need a defensive end more than anything else? Or is there another position that we're overlooking?
I mean, listen, I wouldn't mind another corner. You know, listen, I love Dante Jackson, but he's really had that injury bug the past few seasons. So I wouldn't mind another corner. But yeah, I kind of said it in my last answer. We have to get some more help rushing the passer. I think we've all been kind of fairly disappointed with the development of YGM. We expected him to come on in a bigger way than he actually has. And Derrick Brown, he's great in the middle. He gets a lot of pressures, but he's never really going to be that Aaron Donald type of pass rusher from the middle of your defensive line. You have to get after the quarterback. And I think going to a 3-4 defense is part of the reason why we made that move, is because we want to be aggressive. We want to put them in third and long situations, and you have to hit the quarterback, especially at a time when the NFC South, it's kind of a dumpster fire right now. Like, you can legit make the case that the Panthers have the best chances to win this division. So when the division is down, you need to be aggressive. And I think, to me, that's either a defensive end or another 3-4 outside linebacker.
You are right about that with the division being down. I was just thinking about the quarterbacks around the NFC South right now. I don't know who the Falcons are trotting out. I guess Desmond Ridder, unless they get lucky in the draft or something, because all the free agent quarterbacks are pretty much gone. Baker Mayfield looks like he's going to be the starter in Tampa Bay. Bless their hearts. So we'll see what happens down there. That's and right. Then Derek Carr in New Orleans, but New Orleans feels like their roster is getting older. So, and Dennis Allen's never won anything. So it kind of is wide open for the Panthers here. They seem like they're in the best position. Monty, your thoughts here. Panthers' biggest need on defense going into this 2023 NFL draft, is it at cornerback or is it at defensive end? Or is it a different position altogether?
Yeah, Cody's still in my notes here today. I believe it's defensive end again as well. You got to go pass rusher, whether it be outside linebacker or defensive end. You know, I like Ojulari as well. The guy I've been high on this whole time is Felix Sanu DK Uzomah. The guy from Kansas State, I believe he's going to be a stud as well. So, but yeah, I believe you got to add somebody to pair with Brian Burns. We really lost, we took a big hit with losing Hassan Reddick last year. And I feel like, you got to find a way to kind of dampen that, that load there, or soften that load there. I'm sorry. So, yeah, you got to get another edge rusher. I believe we have a lot of depth at edge. You know, I know a lot of people are high on Barno. A lot of people are high on Haynes, but I do believe we need a day one starter at 39. I believe you can get that. You know, I believe you can get a potential day one starter at 39 at edge and then solidify that defense there. So, but I wouldn't be mad at a corner either. I think Cam Smith is a realistic option at 39 as well. Because Cody hit it on the head as well. Dante Jackson has been injured the last couple of years, and you do need depth at corner. And if JC goes, if he's down, we're kind of thin at corner as well. So, and I wouldn't be mad at Cam Smith at 39, but I do believe we need another pass rusher.
And I was going to mention that, because I was going to push back slightly on both you guys with that, with the cornerback or DE, because if I recall, we missed the playoffs because we ran out of cornerbacks versus Tampa. We were playing third and fourth string cornerbacks. And Tom Brady realized it and just kind of went to school. It was probably the last good game Tom Brady played was actually that game. Dante Jackson coming off of a torn Achilles, I don't know if he's going to be ready for the start of the season. So what are we looking at here? We're looking at JC Horn, who actually hasn't finished the season without injury yet. And when he's out there, he's one of, I think, top five cornerbacks in the league, but he's got to finish the season. And then you got CJ Henderson, I guess, on the other side, former top 10 draft pick out of the 2020 draft. Then in your back foot, you got Von Bell, you got Xavier Woods, you got Jeremy Chinn kind of going back and forth in like a Polamalu hybrid type linebacker safety wanderer type role. I think I would lean more towards cornerback the way that it sounds like they're going to play defense. But, and that's mainly because of Dante's injury situation. If he hadn't gotten injured in the year, I'm like all for DE, but I'm scared to death with the way the league is today that you can never have enough cornerbacks. I think you can get by with exotic looks and blitzes and things of that sort with just one main DE. I do agree they do need to get somebody else for the other side if they're going to extend Burns. The good thing is they're in a position where they don't have to force anything. They can just kind of let the board come to them with all the moves they've done in free agency. Cody in here and Monty in here. You guys can participate too. If you have a question you'd like for them to debate about, you can actually put it in the comment section. There's a couple that are piling up over here on the side that I'm going to actually use here at the end of this episode. So definitely you can chime in. You can give your thoughts on what we're talking about, like G-Baby. I thought Burns was elite, though. We need to build the – well, I can't cuss on here, man. We need to build the wall. Both guards are injured. We need more protection for Bryce the Truth Young. I avoided that whole which quarterback should we get question because we've talked about that off and on. As we get closer to the draft, we'll probably deal with all the quarterbacks next week. Chris and Athena, you can get Darius Rush or Riley Moss at 93 and also get Jack Campbell at 39. I've seen that name pop up a couple of times, Jack Campbell, the middle linebacker. Where is he playing it, or where did he play?
He played Iowa.
Iowa.
He would also be a stud to add to your defense. You know, even if he's not an immediate pass rusher, I think, you know, he facilitates that middle linebacker position for the next 10 years. You know, so
yeah.
And we're in a good
position. He's also been training with Luke Kuechly. Yeah. So hey, that's you know, that should tell you something, man.
Yeah.
Cool little tidbit there.
And we,
man.
I love how these topics have segued into each other, because the very next one I had up actually has to do with middle linebacker with the Carolina Panthers. Embrace debate. Panthers, pick one to start. Dan Morgan or John Beeson?
I'm going John Beeson.
Go ahead, Monty.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I didn't mean to jump in. I'm going John Beeson. I'm probably a little more partial. You know, he was one of my favorite linebackers in college when he played for Miami. You know, so he was, you know, I was a huge John Beeson fan when he was coming out of college. Yeah, man. And I'm probably more partial. I believe injuries kind of, you know, halted his Hall of Fame career, in my opinion. You know, he would have been a, you know, potential Hall of Fame linebacker. Morgan also was a little before my time. You know, I was very young when Morgan, like, I remember Dan Morgan, but when he was very good, I'll probably lose like 10, you know.
Oh, so, man, y'all making me feel old.
Dan Morgan was a little, he was just before, you know, just before my time. So, yeah, I'm probably leaning Beeson.
Cody?
Yeah, so listen, you know, Dan Morgan is also kind of a little bit before my time. My first year I definitely know of him. My first year as a diehard Panthers fan was 2011 because we drafted Cam Newton, and I've been a fan ever since. But I've done my due diligence. I've gone back into the history of this team I love, and I do think it's Dan Morgan. I mean, Dan Morgan was Luke Kuechly before Luke Kuechly was. And it's funny because they had a similar end to their career with the head injuries and the concussions kind of being what led to their retirement. But, you know, having 23 tackles in the Super Bowl, that's a big deal for Dan Morgan. And I feel like that original Super Bowl team, you know, I know Julius Peppers was the big name that everybody associates with that 2003 Carolina Panthers defense. But Dan Morgan was kind of like the unsung hero. Flying around, making plays, shooting through gaps, and just overall being a dominant middle linebacker. And he kind of started that trend of the Carolina Panthers having quality linebackers in the middle of their defense. So yeah, I'm gonna have to say Dan Morgan on this one.
You know, it's crazy too, because you know, Don Capers is back with the team, the first head coach for the Carolina Panthers, and he came from the Pittsburgh Steelers. And their defensive side of things. And you're right. The one thing the Carolina Panthers, I guess you could say that they're known for, is having that middle linebacker. Going all the way back to Sam Mills, then Dan Morgan, then John Beeson, and then Luke Kuechly. Dan Morgan, like I said, y'all are making me feel old. I'm 45. So when Dan Morgan was running around, I'm like in college. You know what I mean? Like this Panthers Patriots Super Bowl in 03. And yeah, Morgan had 23 tackles in that game. If he hadn't got actually both of them, if they both hadn't had the injuries, I think both of them were trending towards Hall of Fame. Dan Morgan just had concussions, which is sad. Same thing that happened with Luke. You know, which is kind of wild coming from the same position. And Beeson just, once he hurt that, I think he hurt his leg or something. He tore his something. Something up in his knee, and he was never quite right after that, and just kept getting hurt. I remember him and Thomas Davis kept getting hurt over and over again around the same period of time.
It was crazy. We had drafted Thomas Davis to replace Beeson because of injuries. And then, you know, Thomas Davis had those three injuries back to back.
Yeah.
And it just, was like, dude, we were snake bitten at linebacker for a minute. Then we drafted Luke and it all worked out. So, yeah.
And did y'all remember how many people were mad that we drafted Luke Kuechly? Because the mindset was, well, we already have John Beeson.
Exactly.
So why are you spending a top 10 pick on a middle linebacker? There was a lot of upset folks that ended up having to eat those words.
Yeah, I think it worked out. I think it worked out just just fun. I'm pretty sure. Actually, bonus question: is Luke Kuechly a first ballot Hall of Famer?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, I want it. My heart says yes, but how many seasons he played? 7?
8? So, look, my opinion on this is, of course, I think he's deserving of it. But do I think he will get first ballot? To be honest, I'm not very sure with you, man. Yeah. The fact that his career kind of got cut short, and you know, we made it to a Super Bowl, but the fact that he doesn't have that Super Bowl ring, I kind of think him and Steve Smith are going to kind of get similar treatment. If they do make it in, it's probably going to be on the second or third ballot if they do get in.
I would think maybe Julius Peppers is going to be the only Panther that's a first ballot Hall of Famer. I think. I mean, Pep is what, 5th in sacks overall or something nuts, or 4th or something crazy. I would think that Pep's going to get in first ballot. And have they announced that class? They haven't announced the official class.
Not to my knowledge. I could be wrong, but I'm not sure.
I want to say Pep is next year. I want to say. So and I know Steve Smith is eligible, but he's not going to be first ballot. There's too many wide receivers in front of him. That still haven't gotten in yet. There's a glut of wide receivers that are waiting to get in, but I think eventually Smitty will get in too. Good stuff there. Let's hit this one up here. So hypothetical, 2 minutes left in the game. The Panthers are down by 4. The ball is on the opposing team's 20-yard line. You got to go 80 yards to score. You need a touchdown, not a Tom Brady led field goal to win this thing. You need a score. You need a touchdown. Who is your quarterback? 2003 Jake Delhomme or 2015 Cam Newton? Now, this is a loaded question. It might seem easy on the surface. Do you understand? One of these guys led their team to like 6 one-score wins over the course of their season or whatnot. Both of them had like 10, 11-game win streaks during these seasons. It's a little closer than it might seem on the surface. Who wants to take a stab at this first? Who are you taking? Ball, you got to go 80 yards. Who are you taking? You got 2 minutes. You taking Jake Delhomme 2003, or you taking 2015 Cam Newton?
I'm taking MVP Cam Newton. You know, Cam, 80 yards, I feel like that, you know, that was something he did in his sleep in 2015. You know, I feel like there was a bunch of games. You know, you can look at the Indy game. You can look at the New York game.
Seattle.
You know, you can look at, if we're looking at just that season in general, you know, he was just in a complete different bag. You know, he could beat you literally on the ground. He can take you 40, 50 yards on the ground. He can throw the ball 40, 50 yards to take in. It's no slight to Jake Delhomme at all. I think Cam Newton was just a different monster in 2015, man. And that's another argument that we can make. If he just stays healthy for the remainder of his career, you know, I feel like that's a no question first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback there. But I love Jake Delhomme. You know, I'm very respectful to, you know, what he's done to this organization. I do think it's Cam Newton, though.
Cody?
So just about all my family is from Louisiana. So I love me some Raging Cajun Jake Delhomme. But, no, man, it's Cameron Jarrell Newton. What are we talking about? Like, listen, I will never forget that 2015 game against the Giants where Odell Beckham and Josh Norman had a UFC fight in the middle of the game.
Oh, man, yeah,
they were
going at it,
But, dude, we were winning the whole game. And then right at the end, we let the Giants all the way back, and they tied it up. And now there's that famous clip of Cam Newton looking at the scoreboard, turning his head. He said, yeah, I got this. I got this. We're about to do this. And then they proceed to go all the way downfield into field goal range. I'm sorry, man. That 2015 Cam Newton, that's the king of clutch right there, man.
Dude, the us beating Seattle that year is, in my opinion, top three wins in Panther history.
Oh yeah, because they were a roadblock for us for those.
We couldn't get past Seattle.
Them and the 49ers. Like, it felt like we lost to the 49ers in the playoffs, and we'd see Seattle in the regular season, and Russell Wilson would do the Russell Wilson thing where it'd be third and 15. He starts running all around. He completes it to somebody for 16 yards, gets the first down, and you're just like, why can't they grab this guy? Like, why can't they just grab him for a second? And then that Seattle game, because it was in Seattle. That was the thing, too. Yeah. It wasn't in Carolina. It was in Seattle, and they needed a score. And Cam hitting that seam route to Olsen into the end zone, that's when I was like, okay, this Panther team is a problem. Like, they are.
Yeah, that's the game where you knew that this team was for real.
They were like 6-0 or something like that when they got
to the point. I want to say it was like the fifth or fourth game of the season. And remember, that entire year, everyone doubted us. Going into the Thanksgiving game against Dallas, they had Dallas predicted to win, and they were calling us the worst undefeated team of all time.
Oh, yeah, like, we were the worst.
The disrespect was the disrespect was wild. And the fact that we just got to shut everyone up so thoroughly. Yeah, man, that was a good time.
I got to say, though, I got to stand up for my boy Jake. Like, Jake, the 03 Panthers were different because they weren't as dominant as 2015 Carolina. Like, they were winning games, and some of them they had no business winning whatsoever. Like, there were so many games in that season that Jake led them down to get in field goal range for John Casey to kick a game winner. And the way that season started, in terms of Rodney Pete was the starting quarterback game one of that season and got benched at halftime for Jake, who was coming in from NFL Europe. So we were already throwing the season away. We were just like, all right, whatever. We don't even know who this dude is. What is this? And then he comes in and leads them to a victory from behind against Tampa, game one. It set the tone for the whole season. If it's this is tough, because I'm like, because if you're looking at him just in a bottle for those years, I know everyone's like, yeah, Jake had the four interception game. Yeah, Jake had a couple stinkers. Yeah, Jake, that Arizona playoff game in 08 probably still sits in a lot of Panthers' minds as one of the worst games a quarterback has ever played in a Carolina Panther uniform. I think he threw 500.
I think literally in the playoffs may be one of the worst performances by a quarterback.
I think it might be. And there's a part, I think NFL Films has it, where Steve Smith is sitting beside him on the bench, and he's just like,
he's got his arm around him. Like,
yeah, he's like, I know you had a bad day, man. You still my boy. And it's just like, oh, Jake had a couple of those. Cam's had a couple of those too, though. Cam ain't, you know, I know we call him Superman, but Cam's had a couple stinkers too. Not in 2015. I can't remember. Matter of fact, I think in 2015 he had that damn near perfect game against the Commanders. That threw like four touchdowns. He ran for like two, threw for like 400, ran for 100.
Like, well, the Arizona game, the NFC Championship game. It was like, dude, he blasted. You know, they were a top five defense. He blasted Arizona.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, they curb stomped them, and then that Seattle game right before it, where we had already beat them earlier in the year. They had us here. Stu, that's one of Stu's favorite games, because like, we just kind of took off running with it, and then Russell Wilson tried to bring them back somehow at the end, but we had scored enough on them to go on. That's an interesting question. Extension to that, 03 offense versus 15 defense, and 15 offense versus 03 defense. That's another debate entirely, because that 03 offense had Steve Smith, Moose Muhammad, who's the running backs? My mind just went blank. In 03, I see
Sean Foster. Was it Sean Foster?
Yeah, Sean Foster. He wasn't the lead back. It was Stephen Davis.
Stephen Davis. I was about to say, Stephen Davis.
Stephen Davis. Where is Stephen Davis today? Stephen Davis and Foster in the backfield. That O-line anchored by Jordan Gross. That was a pretty good offense. But the 2015 Carolina Panther defense, with Josh Norman and those boys?
Josh Norman versus Prom Steve Smith. That's
That's gonna be some furniture moving. Like, I don't even know how that would play out. And then you got, you know, Luke in the middle. That would be interesting. That would be interesting, because that 03 offense was going up against Dan Morgan every day in practice. You're kind of taking it up another notch with it being Luke Kuechly. And then on the other side, the 15 offense, it catches a lot of slack, but they were the number one scoring offense in the league that year. Cam Newton, MVP season, receiver-wise, you got him there.
Kirk Coleman doesn't get enough credit for that 2015 team either, man. Was snagging balls out the air left and right.
You had some bumpers in 2015.
Oh, man, we definitely did.
Roman Harper. Peanut Tillman.
Listen, I'm biased, man. Like that 2015 team, that was my favorite year of football in the history of my life. So I'm I have no problem saying I'm ultra biased, but I'm picking that 2015 defense. And you have Luke Kuechly, and you have Thomas Davis playing their best football. Let's not forget Charles Johnson was still playing well. We ended up picking Jared Allen down the stretch, and he came in, made some plays for us. I know, man. K1 Short, Star Latulele.
You might have talked me into it, Cody.
Yeah,
we had some dogs in that front seven, man. Straight
and,
up.
And looking back on it, it's like at the time everyone was surprised, but like looking back on it in hindsight, it's like this team had to win some games. Like they had been getting there. I mean, and I remember the setup because the year before in 2014, it started there. Because remember, that was the year Cam flipped his truck on the highway heading to practice and had to miss the Tampa game. Because somehow Derek Anderson ended up starting both those Tampa games that year. And the week after that, Cam came in, and that's when they went on that streak. They won like the last three or four games of the regular season, went 7-8-1, got in the playoffs, beat Arizona. If I'm not mistaken, that's still a defensive playoff record for yards allowed in a playoff game. It was that game that Carolina did against Arizona that night. Didn't get any credit for it because we were 7-8-1. And then, you know, the next week they ended up losing. I think it was to San Francisco. But it set up the following year where everyone just kind of ascended to this different level. 2015, I think you might have convinced me because that defense on 2015 was pretty loaded. And, what's funny, it reminds me of what they're doing this year. Like, they've got young guys at each level that could be Pro Bowl caliber, but they've also brought in vets that have won that are at certain spots, too, that to plug in. Like, not old dudes, but, like, dudes that have got 5, 6, 7 years of experience underneath their belt. And they've done it on both sides of the ball. And they did that with that 2015 team. Who's the wide receiver? Everybody knows didn't drop that football in the
Jericho
Super Bowl.
Jericho Cotchery.
Like, they got a bunch of Jericho Cotcheries, it feels like. Like, Adam Thielen feels like a Jericho Cotchery, like, to me. Like, for this team, like, in terms of what he'll mean to it. Having that veteran presence there for these young guys to go. I like it. I like it.
Also, we signed Roman Harper, who was a former New Orleans Saint. Now we got Von Bell, another former New Orleans Saint. There's some fun parallels.
We're missing that. We're missing that Luke. That's the thing. Luke was the defensive player of the year. You know, he was a defensive rookie of the year, and then followed that with a defensive player of the year. Are missing that. But I believe Brian Burns is close. Maybe not close, but I think he's a good foundational piece. But yeah, we are missing that Luke Kuechly. But we've got the pieces on defense to be a very good defense now. And I agree. We are working with something right now, man.
Going back to that original question, who do you take 2003 Jake Delhomme or 2015 Cam Newton? Your boy Slingblade says, I got to go Jake, the 2003 season opener against Tampa that I mentioned earlier, the division round game against the St. Louis Rams, the double overtime game, which I didn't even mention, and the Super Bowl comeback, which I didn't mention. Jake's got that on his resume. The St. Louis game, double overtime, it ended first play of double overtime. He hit Steve Smith middle of the field for like a 60-yard touchdown. And it was just like, because even then we were like, we weren't sure because they beat Dallas the week before, actually put it into the Dallas dynasty with that win the week before pretty much. And then that happened and it was like, oh, we could actually, it was a different ride. Like with 2015, we expected them to get to the Super Bowl after a certain point. You know what I mean? With the 03 team, even though they were the last team undefeated in that season, we still didn't know if they were good enough to get to the Super Bowl. And even when they got to the Super Bowl and they had to play the Patriots, we're like, I don't know. I don't know if we can pull this off. And then that Super Bowl comeback, the Jake Delhomme, Musa Muhammad touchdown pass, if I'm not mistaken, it's still the longest touchdown pass in Super Bowl history. And I still vividly can remember after that happened, the cameras on Jake Delhomme and he's talking smack to, I think it's like, it's one of the linemen for the Patriots. I can't remember his name. It's on the top of my head too, but you can see him like.
I can't remember the guy. I know the play though.
He's just like, oh, you know, you like.
It wasn't
like,
Willie McGinnis, was it?
I think it was Willie McGinnis. Yeah, like it was right after Moose had scored on the long one, and then and they had basically tied it back up, and then the Patriots down scored. Like that whole first and third quarter of that Super Bowl were crazy, then of course we know what happened the last 2 minutes of that game. Real quick before we get out of here, I'm just going through the mailbag here. Loads of people checking in for this debut episode. Appreciate everybody coming in and checking us out. We'll be on every Monday live at 10:30 a.m. The audio portion of this will be on the Fans First Sports Network, where you get all your podcast episodes from. Go rate, subscribe there. Just look up the Keep Pounding Podcast Network. You'll get this show and others that will be dropping later on this week. Just looking to see if there's anything else that we want to touch on before we get out of here today. A lot of people just kind of chiming in. C3 Panthers podcast. Davis has the most single season rushing yards in Panthers history. I was not aware of that, actually. That's a pretty good stat there. Some more from them. 2013 defense was better than 2015 defense.
That was it, dude. That 2013 defense.
60 sacks.
I was so crushed when we lost to the 49ers in the playoffs, man, because that defense was
12-14, wasn't it? That was 12-4.
Yeah. Who
was on that defense? I'm trying to think who was on that defensive line. Mike Rucker still?
It was for we had, gosh, what was my man name? Greg Hardy.
Greg Hardy. Yeah, that was the Greg Hardy year. Yeah.
I was actually going to say the 2013 defense has a strong argument for our franchise best defense. We actually,
I'm going to write that down.
I believe in the NFL, we were like historically one of the best defenses for a while with the 2013 defense. Yeah, we had 60 sacks. We had one of the better, I think we had the best run defense in football that year. So we were. 2013 was a scary defense as well. Cam just wasn't the Cam that he was in 2015. Steve Smith was still playing decent ball. You know, he still had Steve Smith. We had a young Greg Olsen. Cam just had to make that next step. Yeah, and it took 2 years. But, dude, that 2013 defense was different, man.
Domo Smith. That 03 defense, though, Jenkins, Pep, Buckner, Rucker. Again, like I said, Dan Morgan was middle linebacker. What was his name? The cornerback from Ohio State that we had. Oh my god, I can't remember his name right now. Somebody help me.
Chris Gamble.
We might have to have a conversation about that. Who's been the best cornerback in Panthers history? Because Chris Gamble held that post for a long time, but you got a couple to choose from. Is it Josh Norman? Because he really only had that 1 year in 2015 with us. I don't know. That's an interesting debate there too. So, We'll leave it on this one here. CJA says 1 minute left, down four. What quarterback in this class are you wanting?
Bryce Young.
CJ Stroud.
And there you go. Oh man, both of them. Has Bryce Young ever been in a situation like that at Alabama? Yeah. Where he had to come back.
Yeah, against Auburn, his
high. Oh, don't roll your eyes, Cody. Don't do that, man.
Hey, man, don't play like I don't know. I've been watching all the film on all these guys, man. I think that both are good in these types of scenarios. I think Bryce had to do it more, but I mean, when you look at what CJ did in that Georgia game, marching downfield, I think that was big time against the best defense in college football. I think they both have that dog in them, but I love the arm talent of CJ Stroud. He throws one of the prettiest balls that I've ever seen coming out through the draft, man. I really do think that he's a special thrower of the football. So, yeah, especially to be able to get those chunk plays. Yeah, man, I'm going CJ.
I mean, I got convinced with CJ in that Georgia game in the college football playoff. Because to me, I still feel like Ohio State should still be playing. Like, to be honest, like, if the kicker didn't miss that field goal as the clock strikes midnight on New Year's Eve, which was insane, like, it literally hit zero as it's missing the field goal. He hits that. They're playing for the national championship, and I feel like they probably would have won it. So,
they would have won. They would have blown TCU out the water.
Oh yeah,
it wouldn't have even been close.
So I felt like Ohio State Georgia was the national championship to me.
I'll make the argument: if Bryce has his full receiving core in 2021, they beat Georgia. He already beat them before with the other staff. So,
I could also make the argument that if that Ohio State kicker makes that field goal and they go on and dominate the national championship, we're probably unanimously talking about Stroud as the number one quarterback in this class.
That's a good point, too.
If both quarterbacks win championships, it's not a unanimous decision. If we're playing the what-if game.
That's also a good point, too. See, this is going to be fun. This is going to be fun every Monday. We're going to get y'all right for your work week. Every week, you can sit down at your desk, tell your boss, yeah, I got it. And then just casually turn this on YouTube, turn it down on low. Watch it for about 30, 40 minutes and then, you know, get on with your day. So beautiful, beautiful stuff here. I love it. Thanks so much for everybody that's come in here. A large crowd is in here now checking out everything. You can see this every Monday, 10:30 a.m. live youtube.com/@TobaccoRoadSportsRadio. I think you can get it off of Cody's channel as well. The audio will be available on all major podcast platforms here shortly. Go follow the Fans First Sports Network on Twitter. If I'm not mistaken, let me go get that. Well, first go follow us on Twitter, the Keep Pounding Podcast Network. It's at @KPPounding_FFSN. Follow the Fans First Sports Network at Fans First SN. Brand new platform, birthed from the ashes of what was previously over at SB Nation, a band of Hope podcast hosts and content creators that got laid off from over there a couple months back, decided to band together to create this new network. We appreciate coming on board with them, and we appreciate you guys stopping by with us here on Monday. Make sure you mark us so you can see us next week. We'll be back with a brand new episode. You've been watching Embrace Debate. See you next Monday.
Keep pounding.